As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle Dubas addressing the media right now after the Penguins' disastrous season ends with a third straight non-playoff appearance. Their worst full season since Sidney Crosby's rookie year. I feel like you don't hear much about how disastrous their year was because somehow this has all been cloaked as a rebuild by the Kyle Dubas backers. But Bob, this was a disaster, was it not? Did I miss something?
I mean, it's a disaster when you have that kind of roster and they don't make the playoffs for three straight years, knowing that that was the goal. It was pretty much put out there by the organization that the goal is to get them into the playoffs and have a shot at winning a Stanley Cup before it's all said and done. And so far that hasn't happened, despite the fact that Sidney Crosby had a record kind of season with 91 points at the age of 37. And man, incredible stuff from him. And yet here they were, well out of any playoff positioning.
Some of those quotes are quite interesting, I might add, in terms of salary cap, I should say, in terms of Erik Karlsson, who he took a little bit of a shot at. Did you see this?
I saw that, yes. Go ahead, read it.
Dan Kingurski. That's a real account, yes? Okay. Kyle Dubas on Erik Karlsson, quote, his actions have to match his ambitions. Wow. How about that?
Well, I think that's true, though.
Well, yeah, it is.
It is true.
But who's the guy who brought him here? And I didn't argue with it then, believe me.
No, his ambitions are to win Norris trophies, are to, score a lot of points. But the one thing that he's always been is a liability at times defensively. So you could put up with that as long as the other stuff is there. But when it's not there, as certainly to the degree that they expected, then that's a problem.
We'll get to that.
Still a superbly talented player who can do, I think, more than what he's shown.
Yes. We'll get to Dubas's comments. In the meantime, Bob and I were not here for the Aaron Rodgers, Pat McAfee appearance. There's a lot here, and of course, it's still very, very pertinent because the Steelers still don't have a starting quarterback unless you consider Mason Rudolph to be a starting quarterback. I don't. And the draft is coming up. They said they would wait on Aaron Rodgers, but not forever. I don't know what that means, Bob. We have a draft happening. I would say this before we even hear any of the clips, is that Cam Hayward put it well a while back, and certainly this contrasted to last year when he was the lead PR man, the lead Steelers ambassador, in trying to draw Russell Wilson here, spending an hour with him on FaceTime and all of that. He basically said about Rodgers, either you want to play for us or you don't. Either you want to be a Steeler or you don't. You guys tell me, after hearing this from Aaron Rodgers, did it sound to you like he's just chomping at the bit or even champing at the bit, Bob? I've never figured out that saying. To play for the Steelers? Is that what it sounded like to you? Because it sounded to me like, yeah, I guess I'm interested in still playing. yeah, I might play, but they can do whatever they want. Anybody, by all means, if you don't want me, go ahead, move along. There's issues in his personal life, and I don't want to make light of that because that's a big deal. But aside from that, it didn't sound like a guy who's just fired up to come play for the Steelers and is ready. It sounds like a guy who's very torn over whether he even wants to play football, let alone for the Steelers. Thoughts?
Yeah, and you know what Chuck Noll always said about thinking about retirement? That likely means you're already there. So he has that, that's, you know, and I always thought retirement was something that he'd have to consider. But I also thought the Steelers are the one team that hasn't moved on from him. There have been others who basically said no. I mean, it started with the Jets. I thought his answer with the Jets was very interesting, how he was annoyed that they flew him cross country to a meeting, and then within the first 5 minutes of it, they said, you know, we're going to go in a new direction and you're not going to be part of it. And he was upset that he had to fly cross country to do it. But that also tells you about the Jets, that they've seen enough of him and they don't want him. Minnesota didn't want him. And he made it very clear he would like to. The one team that hasn't pulled away from him is the Steelers.
Yeah.
And he still may not, you know, if he's looking at the situation, maybe it doesn't line up for him in terms of what he's expecting one last season to look like. I'm not sure because there's no communication other than what he said. And what he said left me hanging like, okay, this is never going to get solved. Or this is another thing, that he may say that, hey, I'm taking my time. I got stuff in my life. Everyone has stuff in their life. I understand. But that shouldn't stop you from making a decision for a game that isn't going to be played for 6 months.
Yeah, a career decision, right.
Which also tells me he may not be willing to do all the ancillary stuff, you know, the OTAs, the mini camps, these things, whatever, because he didn't do it in New York.
Maybe he's got time to go on the Pat McAfee show and whine about his lot in life and how the Jets mistreated him. He's got time. He had time to fly to New York, so he made a career decision there.
Yeah.
To me, the most interesting thing that Aaron Rodgers said the other day, I thought, was a self-incrimination. And when I asked that question, or when Hayward asked that question, do you want to be a Steeler or not? Which is almost a way of saying, do you want to play football or not? Aaron Rodgers himself said that Aaron Glenn said, you want to play football? And Rodgers' answer, according to Rodgers, was not absolutely
I'm engaged. No.
It was, yeah, I'm interested. Oh, really? You're interested? Well, that's nice to hear. He has a way, Aaron Rodgers does, of phrasing things in such a way that you don't know what the hell he's talking about. It's not a straight answer. You want to play football? That's a yes or no question. And he answered
especially
it
this late in the proceedings.
Yeah, I'm interested. In other words, let's hear what you got to say. No, you interested or not? Do you want to be a Steeler or not? What would he say to that? Yeah, I'm interested.
Well, I think McAfee followed up with that same question. And I mean, he did not give an answer, a definitive answer anyway. He gave an answer, but it was not yes or no. It was, you know, I'm going through the process, that kind of stuff.
And if they want to move on, by all means, he said, move on.
That doesn't sound like someone who's...
Exactly.
But this leads up to where we are. We're just a couple of days away from round one of this draft. And I wonder how much of this decision or non-decision will impact their decision in the first round.
I mean, hopefully none. Either you love a guy or you don't love him.
To which Austin's pointed out earlier that there's, and I felt this all along, like if the Steelers really want a second round pick and they're not willing to trade George Pickens, the best way to do it is trade down in the draft.
Yeah.
Accumulate more picks, especially if your goal is not to bring in a quarterback this year. Because there are a lot of good defensive players. You can help someone move up, jump over you, and get a second round pick to do it or something of that nature.
And you're saying Adam Schefter is saying that. Yes, Limits?
Yeah, Schefter put out a huge piece today for ESPN that basically detailed a lot of things that he's hearing in the draft. And one of them is that the Steelers are interested in moving down from 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could be to recoup maybe that second round pick. Maybe they trade out of the first round entirely if one of the quarterbacks are gone or if the defensive tackles are gone. But there is some interest in there for them to acquire more picks.
I would like them still to retain a first-round pick of some sort so they can get one of those defensive linemen and then pick up an additional pick or two by moving backwards a few spots, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, we have the specter of Rodgers hanging over the whole franchise. I think Jerry Dulac was on with Rich Eisen saying the Steelers are not flying by the seat of their pants here. Is he sure about that? Because it sure looks to me like they wanted Justin Fields and missed on him because they lowballed him. They lied about wanting Russell Wilson because he was perfectly available and they didn't try to get him. Darnold, it seems like maybe they wanted. He's gone. They brought back a guy they let go without a fight last offseason in Mason Rudolph, who's 9-8-1 in his career, with 28 touchdowns and 20 picks and an 84 passer rating. In other words, a backup, a career backup. And now they're sitting around waiting for Aaron Rodgers. Are we sure, Bob, that they're not flying by the seat of their pants here? Because it sure looks that way to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that this was part of their planning in January, right? I mean, it's safe to say that. There was no way that this was a situation, whether it was bringing in Rudolph or waiting for Rodgers. That could not have been part of
it. It seems like plan A was Justin Fields.
Right, and they should have done doubled down and gone after plan A harder than I thought. It would have made everything else a little easier to figure out moving forward. Plus, I do believe there's an upside for him, and I think we'll see what happens in New York. But if he hits it a little bit better in New York and things work, they would have solved their quarterback dilemma then.
I mean, this is making the Steelers look horrible here. Mike Florio's even changed his mind. He was arguing for Rodgers a couple weeks ago. Now he says he's done a 180 and that it's just going to be a mess if Rodgers comes here. By the way, he talked about, and I had forgotten about this, Florio talked about the passive-aggressive fight, and that's a great word for Aaron Rodgers. He's the king of passive-aggressive. The fight with Matt LaFleur over, quote, the audible thing. And Florio recounts that LaFleur's offense gave the quarterback limited flexibility to change plays that were called in the huddle. Does that sound familiar, Bob? And Rodgers was, quote, mystified that LaFleur wouldn't give an experienced and brilliant quarterback permission to do whatever he wanted. Huh, that sounds familiar because the exact same thing happened here with Ben and with Russell Wilson. So anybody out there who thinks that this would be smooth sailing because of the bromance between Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers, I think is out of their mind. It's easy to say in April that this would all work out wonderfully. You remember in June, the Eric Carlson-Mike Sullivan marriage, June a couple years ago, was going to be wonderful, wasn't it, Bob? And then the season started and the games happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. They're in a situation now where they're just trying to figure out something in their quarterback room. I don't think anywhere along the plans in January or whatever that Mason Rudolph was a consideration for them. If he had been, he would have signed here last year. They would have made a legitimate effort to keep him, but they didn't. And only after the Fields thing kind of blew up, they didn't get him, and now they're searching for other options.
They had no concrete plan other than it seems like they thought they were going to get Justin Fields. Other than that, they do seem like they're flying by the seat of their pants. They seem to be acting out of abject desperation, and man, do they look desperate.
But here's the thing now. Jerry also said that they have a first-round grade on both Shedeur Sanders and Jaxson Dart.
Yes, yes.
So would that incline them to get aggressive if they feel that way? Now, first-round grade doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a franchise quarterback either. You have a first-round grade, okay. They had one on Mason Rudolph, too, and they end up going in the third round. That doesn't guarantee anything, but it makes you think that their evaluation means those two guys can come in here and do something.
Yeah.
So, would you think they would get aggressive enough to move up? Let's say that one of them falls. I'm not sure who. One of them falls, and they're three picks away. And they have that first-round grade.
If they don't, and if word doesn't come out that they didn't, then I'm going to believe that they really, unless they're convinced that the three teams in front of them weren't looking for a quarterback. You know what I mean, Bob? That's the thing. If they feel perfectly comfortable that they don't have to move up, although another team could jump in front of them. You're right about that. And they said they moved up to try to get Pickett, remember?
Yes.
If you love a guy that much and he's going to be the face of your franchise and you don't make an attempt to move up to get him, then I would wonder about that. how much you really believe in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they do have another set of needs that have to be solved here, I think, in this draft.
They do, but they really only have one as a franchise. They need a franchise quarterback.
But you better make sure that this guy, whoever it is, it's got to be.
Maybe none of these guys is it. By the way, I'm back on the Jackson Dart bandwagon. Who was it that knocked me for a loop last week?
That was Bruce Feldman.
Yeah, right. That hurt.
I didn't know you were officially off.
I was never off. I was teetering. I had one leg off the side of the bandwagon.
Teetering. The train was going a little bit too fast there, Bob. It almost came off the tracks.
Yeah, it did.
Well, that's if you know Joe, you know how that goes.
I'm
one
back.
Day in, oh, one
he
day
teeters,
out.
I'm back, and I'm going to be ecstatic if they draft Jackson Dart. I think he's the guy. But this is a situation in which everybody's looking at the Steelers, I think, around the football world and say, really, you're sitting around waiting for Aaron Rodgers? What are you doing? And Florio suggested, he put out a poll, Twitter poll, where it was like 50-50 a few weeks back on whether Steeler fans wanted Aaron Rodgers. And then, as he put it, basically the same amount of people voted when he redid the vote, and it's like 70% against Rodgers. So I wanted to ask that same question of you out there. Bob and I discussing the Aaron Rodgers fiasco. Is that a good word for it here? I mean... If he was still really good, then I'm willing to move mountains. I'll wait till the season opener practically to get him here. He's not really good anymore.
Well, he can be efficient if you give him time. But the other thing, did he at all in that interview, Austin, mention his salary or what?
Yes, he said he'd play for $10 million.
So I would hold him to his word there. I don't know what the offer they made because there's an offer on the table, but if it's...
That makes me wonder if he's even serious about this. Doesn't it kind of?
Yeah, I didn't expect to hear that.
$10 million.
And since he said it, then I would expect him to be true to it.
Sure. If he's offering, I'll take it. Let's hear a couple of those clips. We'll riff on those for a moment. Kyle Dubas has spoken at his season-ending wrap-up, had a very, very pointed comment, pointed right at Erik Karlsson. I
also something about Tristan Jari, which interesting.
We'll do that top of the hour. What do we have, O Limitless Wonder?
Aaron Rodgers started off by saying that a lot is going on in his life right now.
I said it all straight. I have no problem. From the jump, it's, I'm in a different phase of my life. I'm 41 years old. I'm in a serious relationship. I have off the field stuff going on that requires my attention. I have personal commitments I made, not knowing what my future was going to look like after last year, that are important to me. And I have, a couple people in my inner circle who are really battling some difficult stuff. So I have a lot of things that are taking my attention and have, beginning in really January, away from football. That's been where I've been focusing most of my attention on. To make a commitment to a team is a big thing, whether you're a first-year player or a 20-year vet.
Okay, I get it, and I hope everything is okay with whoever is struggling. But if there's so many things taking your attention away from football, and you're 41, you have all these interests and all this other stuff, then why, if I'm the Steelers, when does that switch? Like, is that going to switch? Are you in a place in your life where you can put a lot of that aside and focus almost exclusively on football, which is kind of the demand here, or not? It doesn't sound like it,
Bob. He's still having a tug of war in his own mind about what, how he feels about this.
Yes.
So, again, that's not the mindset you want coming into this thing. That's for sure. So, I don't know. I wonder how that will affect the Steelers. If they don't have an agreement, they just put the offer on the table and they said they're willing to wait. You can only wait so long. Your planning for your roster has already been going on, and it has to continue to go on.
When do the off-season workouts begin? Today?
Well,
Isn't it today?
It depends on the team. There are different start times for that kind of stuff.
The thing I have is Steelers will kick off their off-season workouts on April 21st.
All right.
Focus on strength, conditioning, physical rehab, and meetings.
Well, he's not going to be part of any of that for sure. And again, as he said it,
OTAs
he even
on
used
May 20th.
His own words. He said, anytime you're with a new team, you have to be, he said that. So mean it if you say it.
So OTAs then would be May 27th to the 29th. That does not sound like a guy whose mind and schedule are going to be completely freed by then. He's a guy who has a lot of interests, and it sounds like a lot of important issues to deal with in his life. There's nothing there getting again back to Cam Hayward saying, do you want to be a Steeler or not? Yes or no? Aaron Rodgers has a hard time with yes or no.
No, I know. He doesn't want to give you an answer one way or the other. And that's not a good look at this point, especially when you're 41 and you're clinging on for one more year. If this is going to be the year, you would want to make it, you know, as productive as you can from every aspect.
You'd
getting
want
to know
get,
your players,
yes.
Working with those players. You don't know who they are. They don't know you. You don't know your OC. You got to get used to it all. It takes time.
You'd want every minute with a brand new team, brand new terminology, brand new system. You don't get to run it here. With the Jets, they let him bring in Nathaniel Hackett as his offensive coordinator. They let him bring in multiple players. They let him run his own offense. That's not going to happen here. You're going to have to get used to everything new. Bob, I don't think he's up for that. I guess that's what I took from all of this, is I don't think this is going to happen. Now, am I convinced of that? Not necessarily. I think it's 55% to 45%. It doesn't happen. That does not sound like a guy who's gung-ho about coming here and playing his age 42 season.
So what would you say the people have to say about this? If you had to put a poll out and ask people in Pittsburgh, do you want Aaron Rodgers after all of this or not?
I mean, I put out a poll. Florio just talked about his, where a couple weeks ago it was 50-50. Now it's 70 against the idea. And he's got, you know, I think 11, 12, 13,000 people weighing in on his stuff. I put out one April 5th, a week ago. If these were the four choices, and I did this, and this was like a 30-minute poll. If these were the four choices, you'd like the next Steelers quarterback to be Mason Rudolph, Aaron Rodgers, Jackson Dart, or Shedeur Sanders. And Mason Rudolph won the poll by 11 points at 37%. Aaron Rodgers got 26%. Scientific, no, but telling. It's no different than these political polls. No. They go out and they call 100 people.
So what happens if ultimately he says no? Ultimately he chooses to retire or at least wait for another offer?
You go with Mason.
But what else do they put in their quarterback room? Who else?
I mean, if you want somebody young, if they love one of these guys, that's a different
story. Let's say that comes and goes.
Or you draft one who's a project. I wouldn't do that. Or you just go with Skylar Thompson. You don't have to say it to the world, but then you would, by definition, be taking a step back this season, which at this point I think is the best thing.
It might help them next year if they're going to be in a better position to take somebody and have a choice over, you know, quarterbacks they have rated as first-round guys.
And I'd save the $100 million on T.J. Watt, incidentally. And
well, that's a corresponding thing
draft
here.
Picks.
Because if you don't get a quarterback like Rodgers, you know, realistically, what are your chances of getting an offense that can be better than what you saw last year? And therefore, your defense, you're putting more money into your defense, which won't necessarily help you this year. So that's one more year of TJ Watt.
I'm selling off assets. It hasn't worked with this defense, and they're getting old. Minka looks older than he is. TJ's body has been through hell. I don't know how much longer Cam can continue to be as amazing as he was last season. It didn't work, okay? It didn't work. They tried. They put mega resources into that defense. Mike Tomlin bragged about that defense, said he expected them to be elite. This was 2 years ago. It's been that way for 3, 4, 5 years. And instead, they set a record for most consecutive playoff games, giving up 40 points. They gave up 300 rushing yards to the Ravens. You gave it a shot. It didn't work. Really, you owe it to yourselves and to your fan base, actually, to take a step back. I would trade Watt, Minka, Pickens. I would accumulate cap space and draft picks. I would want to be flush with money and with draft picks next year at this time. Draft coming to Pittsburgh, perfect time for a restart. What's the difference? You're not a Super Bowl threat, and you haven't come close to winning a playoff game for a decade anyway. So you go 7-10 or 9-8? What's the difference? That's what I would do. So I actually think this could be best for them in the end, Bob.
It may be, but I would like to find some sort of conclusion to this soon, though, because if this lingers on beyond the draft, and let's say they don't do anything in the quarterback department, and he knows it, maybe that's what he's waiting for too, you know. I mean, he's that kind of player.
To see
what they do in the first, like if they take a Shedeur Sanders, if by some reason he's available, or Jackson Dart, he may say, I'm not, you know.
That's what Limits and I told you last week, and you chopped our heads off, Bob. Do you remember that, Limits?
I thought we would have a decision by now.
Well, I suggested that maybe this guy doesn't want to feel threatened the whole year.
Well, if he's that way, then I don't think he'll. He should just retire. That's what it sounds to me like. He's giving you every indication that he doesn't want to do this, but somehow is being dragged to, you know.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you both this question. Upon hearing this the other day, why haven't the Steelers stepped up and said, at least to him, and then let it be known, we have halted our pursuit of Aaron Rodgers. We're looking at the draft. We're looking at other options. Yet they're still waiting here, desperately hoping that the person you asked to the prom will say yes at the last minute if they can't find any better options. What are they doing?
They must think that Aaron Rodgers can actually put them over the top. And I don't know if they're that gullible to believe it, or if they're brainwashed thinking that Aaron Rodgers can actually win them a Super Bowl or can win them the division and win an actual playoff game and end this stigma around the team right now.
Bob, if I'm Art Rooney, I watched that the other day and listened to it and was on the phone with Mike Tomlin in 5 seconds saying, we're done with this. Okay? We're done. Look elsewhere. That's what we're going to do. You?
Well, again, I don't know what it means, that forever comment. I don't know how long they want to wait on that. But I do think, though, that if he comes here and they do give him opportunities with pass protection, that he can still be a good quarterback. I saw enough of it last year, not in the game in Pittsburgh. That would be the one game that if I were the Steelers, I'd look at and say, you came to Pittsburgh, we intercepted you a couple of times, we made you look bad.
But you just said he should retire.
No, I said he's probably thinking that based on these comments.
That's what he should do. And the Steelers.
Don't you get that feeling that he's kind of just being...
That's why if I was Art, I would have heard that and said, we're done. We're done. This guy has a million interests. He's going to be 42. He just told the world, hey, anybody who's interested in me, go ahead, move on if you want. I don't care. That's essential. Do we have that quote, Limits?
Yeah, this was what Roger said about being up front with the Steelers.
Listen, this entire time, I haven't felt like I owed anybody some sort of decision at any point. This is my life. Like I said, things are different now. My life is different. My personal life is different. I have stuff in the inner circle that I'm intimately close to. It's really important to me. And I've been upfront with him about that and said, listen, if you need to move on, if you need to do something, by all means, like nothing but love and respect. If that's the decision that needs to be made, but. There's been no deadline, and I've talked to Mike T many times.
Bob, I don't know about you, but I've been on a number of job interviews in my life, and the one line I didn't use was, listen, if you need to move on, by all means.
That's the last thing you want to tell a prospective employer. Yeah, you know what?
Limits, what is happening here?
You know,
when you interviewed with The Fan with Craig, and he said, well, I'm sure you want to get on the air someday. We can start our producing shows, was your response, and I realize that Aaron Rodgers has accomplished a lot. I get it. But was your response, listen, yeah, I'm interested, but if you need to move on and find somebody else, by all means, please go be my guest.
Yes, and I'll be on tonight, 6 to 10:35, leading into the nightly sports call with Bob Pompeiani hosting
there
the evening
here,
yeah, right baby. Here on The Fan.
Yeah, here we go, Bob.
You don't just go. You know, like, I want to be here. I think it would be great to be here. But if you decide that I'm, you just got to move into a different direction. I get it. That's okay. I'm not going
to
care about my own ambition.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be me. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Irritating. Irritating.
I mean, even what he revealed to about what he said to Aaron Glenn, allegedly, at least according to Rodgers, was Glenn saying, do you want to play football? And him saying, yeah, I'm interested. What? That was the definition of a yes or no question. And he doesn't seem to know. That's the thing.
It's literally like the maybe, and you're talking to somebody and they're like, well, are you interested in dating me? I'm interested, kind of, maybe.
That's a great example,
yes.
Bob.
Just say yes.
We'll go
no.
back to the prom thing, okay? Amy Alfano, who I thought, my humble opinion, was the prettiest girl in our school, and I was afraid of her. If I asked her, or if she asked me, no. If I asked her to go to the prom, would you, Amy, go to the prom with me in May? And she said, yeah, I'm interested. Would I go home feeling good about that? She couldn't give me a definitive answer. All she said was, yeah, I'm interested. I don't know how good I would feel about that. I would feel like maybe I was being strung along, and especially maybe that she would wait for something better to come along and then maybe say yes at the end.
Right.
Would I be crazy for thinking that?
No, and that may be what he's doing. I think he wanted Minnesota all along. He was waiting for them
and
to come back.
And maybe still does.
Maybe still does, and maybe we'll go through some of the OTAs and the mini camps in Minnesota, and they maybe are not convinced that J.J. McCarthy is going to be this year what they need. Who knows what he's thinking? But, yeah, if you had someone tell you that and say, hey, by the way, if you want to get somebody else, go ahead, Joe. Ask somebody else. That's fine.
Right.
I'll be okay. You wouldn't want to hear that. That would be terrible for your prom date, I mean.
Yeah. You wouldn't know, because it would be even worse than if she had said no, Amy Alfano, to
right.
me.
Sometimes
at least I would have a definitive answer,
Joe,
and could
no.
move on.
It leads yeah. you on. Like, it still leads you right. wanting more.
But it makes it worse on that person, too. Because
exactly.
Amy Alfano should have just said, Joe, you're not in my league, pal. Let's go.
Right.
Go someplace else. Go
exactly.
down to the G League or whatever league you want to go to. But
exactly.
you're not in my league.
Triple A, Joe.
Just tell me no, because now I have my hopes up. And what's more, now I look horrible in front of my friends and family, just like the Steelers do. The Steelers look horrible with how they've managed quarterbacks.
They look awful.
They went out and got Mitch Trubisky, and yes, I was first in line. I know limits, and I know you're about to play the Trubisky train. I know you are. It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
Yes, that. He was dead wrong on that. And they couldn't rehab Mitch Trubisky. Then they made a horrific reach in the first round on Kenny Pickett. Then by default went to Mason Rudolph, who actually saved Tomlin's behind in that season. Yes. And then they don't make Rudolph an offer he can't refuse to come back. They bring him back a year later. And in the meantime, they brought in Russell Wilson, strikeout. They brought in Justin Fields, sort of a strikeout. Except they said they wanted one of those two guys back. They didn't make Fields an offer that beat even a moderate offer from the Jets, so they lose him. They tell the world that they'd be very interested in Russell Wilson. In fact, he'd be prioritized along with Fields, one
Broncos
or the other.
Country. Let's ride.
And they never made an effort to bring him in, even though he would have crawled here to come back here. Then we don't know what the other machinations were. And now they're sitting here pretty much to bring the story
again.
Good timing, Bob.
Same things.
To bring the whole story full circle, the Steelers have become Aaron Rodgers sitting in the green room on draft day all those years ago.
That's a great comp.
And the whole football world, like they did with Rodgers, is saying things like, man, I feel bad for those guys. They used to have Ben. Or worse than that, they're saying, God, that's pathetic. Look at this. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants him.
Yeah, I mean, it's both look bad at this point, you know, and that's the problem when you go this far down into the offseason and you haven't solidified your plans at the most important position. So they have a lot that they can change here in the next week. It starts Thursday. I'd like to see what happens with Rodgers if they do take a quarterback in the first round. I don't want to see that just because I think they have other things they should do first, in my opinion. But I want to see what Rodgers' reaction would be.
This is horrifying, Bob. The Pirates are more horrifying. And now for the bad news, let's get to the Penguins next. Where are we as a sports town? I've never seen it
like this. This is a drought, a big drought. It goes back, when was the last significant playoff series, actually? If you look at series wins, You know, the Pirates stuck. They haven't done one since 1979. The World Series was the last actual series win.
Like,
well, you could win
the Penguins won the Cup in 17. Since then,
they've won one series. That's all. I mean, it's, you know, series.
The Pirates have won nothing, and the Steelers haven't even been competitive in a playoff game in nearly a decade.
Yeah, so it's not a good time. And then you factor in Pitt on that too, and some of the other stuff. It's not been good.
This is a disaster, Bob. So let's get to the Penguins.
But there are issues. There are always issues, and the Penguins have plenty of them coming off of this season now.
Oh, let's get to the Penguins. A pointed remark.
By the way,
Kyle.
Sidney Crosby was out on the ice today working with Ryan Shea and others. I thought Dave Molinari put out a tweet.
I mean, that's the bright
point. That goes
point.
To show you about Sidney Crosby.
Yes.
And just he is as committed as anyone.
And it shows. You know, we talk about the Pirates' failure to build around Paul Skeens. What has Kyle Dubas done around Sidney Crosby but waste two prime years of Crosby's late career where he's still being voted as the most complete player in all of hockey? And Kyle Dubas came in here last season and was convinced that he was going to shock the world. He threw money around like the Los Angeles Dodgers. He brought in Erik Karlsson at $10 million a year in a trade, but still was committed to big money. He spent $54 million on Ryan Graves and Tristan Jarry. He spent money on Riley Smith in that trade. He brought in Lars Eller, spent money in that trade, and that team was built to win and fell flat on its face. And then they traded Jake Gensel, and I still don't know why, if the idea is to contend around Sid. I don't know what the idea is. And then this year, the Dubas backers want to cloak it as rebuild year. Okay, look like a roster rife with veterans and high-paid guys of pedigree that was built to win again. But okay, if you want to call it a rebuild, I guess the rebuild's over, unless it's not. They're using words like patience and urgency in the same sentence. I don't know what to believe. I know the Penguins stink, and I know Kyle Dubas is 0-7 as a general manager. His mandate in Toronto was to take a 105-point team and get it to something like a final, I guess, a Stanley Cup final. He never got close. He was 0-5. And now he's 0-2 as Penguins general manager. So why should anyone believe that that franchise is in the right hands? We're going to talk about the season, Bob. We're going to talk about Fenway Sports Group, Kyle Dubas, Mike Sullivan, people with the Rangers lobbying.
How about that?
For
they
Mike
fired
Sullivan.
LaViolette, and now they may be interested in Mike Sullivan if he's available.